You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Monday, August 17th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We are back from the 24th annual Seattle Hemp Fest. What an interesting Hemp Fest this was. First day was completely rained out. Well, almost completely. We've got the one speech that went off at Seattle Hemp, actually it was one or two, I think, but one of the few speeches that went off of the main stage from Seattle Hemp Fest. We'll be featuring that in hour two. Dr. Keith Saunders from Boston had a great speech. We'll bring that to you. That's going to be our show pretty much for the day, as highlights from Seattle Hemp Fest, including my speeches, but we're going to start things off with Herb Thrasher. Right after the 420 Radio News, we've got Herb Thrasher's speech from main stage at Seattle Hemp Fest, and then after the break, we will come back and give you Ann Lee, the 84-year-old founder of Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition and the mother of Prop 19 sponsor Richard Lee. She gave a great speech at Seattle Hemp Fest, and we'll follow that with my speech from the Sealy stage. Speaking of people from Texas like Ann Lee, we'll give my speech from the Sealy stage on the case of Charnesia Corley, the woman who was raped by the roadside in Harris County, Texas, looking for weed. Then we'll have our cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. We've got a lot of studies to talk to him about today in our cannabis science segment. Then we'll wind things up with our radical rant, and we'll give you my other speech from Seattle Hemp Fest. This is the No on I-502 Was Wrong speech, and I'm sure I made a lot of friends with that one. Then in hour two, we've got music from Seattle Hemp Fest. We've got a band called Michelle Damore and the Love Dealers. Perfect little name for a group. They're out of Kirkland, Washington, so we'll check that out. Love the bass player. Played a six-string bass with these really shimmery blue strings on it. Loved it. Also on the show, we had a visit with the Seattle Satanic Temple. Now, normally when I go to Seattle Hemp Fest, there's a group of Christians with a bunch of white placards explaining how I'm going to go to hell because I smoke pot. Well, the Satanists showed up with black placards explaining how we're not. And so it was quite interesting to talk to the Seattle Satanists. They were a very polite group, I've got to say. Then, at the end of the show, we'll wind things up with a very important panel that took place at the Seattle Hemp Fest Hemposium. It was entitled, Can Medical, Recreational, and Spiritual Use Coexist? And notably on the panel was Carrie Boyder from Americans for Safe Access, the medical organization, and Keith Stropp, the founder of Normal, the recreational organization. And it got a little heated between the two of them, and it recalled the 2012 great I-502 debate that they were both a part of as well, that got kind of heated. So check that out coming up at the end of the show. Of course, after the show, we'll have all these uploaded to our SoundCloud page as well, if you'd like to share them or hear them again. But stay tuned. The 420 Radio News is next. And in the headlines today, did you know edibles are legal in Wyoming? I didn't. Also, we've got Ohio opponents to legalization, the ones who don't smoke pot. They're coming out with a press conference. We've got conflict between two groups legalizing in Maine, parents trying to legalize medical marijuana in Nebraska, and a mayor in Oregon who quit her job because the town tried to ban pot shops. All that coming up on the Russ Belville Show.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You're listening to 420radio.org, your 24-hour cannabis community radio.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Expand your horizons and join us every Wednesday night for Gordon Green's Music Planet. You'll hear an eclectic mix of music from all around the world. Catch the first show of the month for an intro to world music. It's Gordon Green's Music Planet, Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, with replays weekends at midnight on 420radio.org.
The Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference is happening September 12th and 13th at the Hilton in downtown Portland. Hi, I'm Alex Rogers, and I hope you'll take advantage of this amazing opportunity to learn the latest business and legal information concerning cannabis commerce in Oregon in 2015 and beyond. Check out OMMBC.com right now for early bird pricing because we're likely to sell out. That's OMMBC.com, the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Replays of 420 Radio News are embeddable and shareable from our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. Now, the marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, August 17th, 2015. Recent decisions by state judges have revealed a legal loophole in Wyoming's marijuana law that lawmakers are trying to close. First District Judge Stephen Sharp recently dismissed the case of a man accused of possessing enough edible marijuana in his car to be charged with a felony because Sharp said the existing law specifies possessing only the plant form of marijuana can be a felony. On April 13th, the Wyoming Highway Patrol stopped a motorist for an alleged traffic violation. The trooper smelled alleged marijuana and seized 1.9 pounds of alleged edible marijuana cookies, candies, bread, and chocolate bars. Wyoming law states that more than 3 ounces of marijuana in plant form is a felony, the judge wrote in a summary of the case. Prosecution filed a felony possession of marijuana charge, but the defendant countered that he did not possess more than 3 ounces of marijuana in plant form. Opponents to the marijuana legalization ballot initiative are kicking off their campaign Monday in Columbus, Ohio, with a news conference. The Council of Smaller Enterprises in Cleveland and the Ohio Manufacturers Association oppose Responsible Ohio. The business groups expressed concern that legalizing marijuana would jeopardize workplace safety. Ohio voters in November will face two constitutional amendments that will conflict with one another. One is the citizen-initiated amendment that would legalize a new marijuana industry dependent on 10 predetermined growing sites. Another, which state lawmakers put on the ballot, seeks to block that business model. What happens if they both pass? The Ohio Constitution says if two conflicting amendments on the same ballot pass, the one that gets the most votes becomes law. But the Constitution also says citizen-initiated amendments, such as the Marijuana Legalization Amendment, become law 30 days after an election, while legislature-sponsored amendments become law immediately. The conflict between two groups seeking to place recreational marijuana legalization questions on the 2016 Maine state ballot continues to deepen as signature gatherers take to the streets. After months of negotiations, which the leader of one of the groups characterized as a sham, failed to achieve a compromise, animosity between Legalize Maine and the Marijuana Policy Project made its way to the streets and storefronts of Portland as the two organizations each worked to gather more than 60,000 signatures required to place their questions on the November 2016 ballot. The president of Legalize Maine, Paul McCarrier, said the Marijuana Policy Project and its local affiliate, Regulate Maine, are resorting to Washington-style political tactics that include spreading misinformation, vague threats, and bad talking when interacting with his group. However, David Boyer, campaign manager for the Marijuana Policy Project, said he tried to work with Legalize Maine for 6 months but stopped negotiations after he believed McCarrier was trying to, quote, trick him, end quote. Nebraska families that want to legalize medical marijuana are raising money and lining up donors for a possible 2016 ballot drive, even though Nebraska lawmakers plan to address the issue next session. Parents with sick children who lobbied for a measure that stalled this year have formed a new nonprofit, Nebraska Families for Medical Cannabis, to explore a citizen-led petition drive. Its president, Shelley Gillen, said she had spoken with possible financiers and has already raised almost $7,500 the group wants for the initial push. If the ballot campaign proceeds, it would replace a low-budget petition drive that's underway through the Omaha chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Chapter founder Brian Boganowski said his group is approaching 20,000 signatures with an all-volunteer drive based primarily in Omaha, but it quickly became clear that deep-pocketed donors and paid workers are necessary. The Oregon coast town of Rockaway Beach tried to ban recreational weed shops. It now has some very angry residents, and it no longer has a mayor. Mayor Joanne Agard resigned Friday from her job atop the beach town of 1,312 people, saying she had been, quote, continually harassed, end quote, by residents after the city council voted to ban recreational weed. The council also limited public discussion, which made citizens even angrier. In a resignation letter obtained by the Tillamook Headlight Herald, Agard says she opposed the ban, but citizens attacked her anyway. Comments sent to the Headlight Herald suggest the council's proposed ban is unpopular. Many citizens argued the town, which is economically depressed, is throwing away tourism dollars. The Tillamook County Pioneer reports that Rockaway Beach City Council has dropped its proposal to ban weed sales and says it won't try again. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, August 17th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com. Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. Well, folks, for going behind the headlines today, we're really going to talk about the Super Bowl that took place this weekend, the Super Bowl of marijuana activism, the Seattle Hemp Fest, which was its 24th incarnation. It was a tough 3-day weekend. The first day, Friday, was completely rained out. There was the opening ceremony, a couple of speeches, and that was it. We had thunder, we had lightning, and flooded the Seattle Hemp Fest grounds. Herb Thrasher's booth was about 4 inches deep in water. We're scrambling to put all of the boxes and t-shirts and stuff on tables and on rocks to keep them out of the water. So Friday was a complete loss. Saturday and Sunday proceeded as planned, and unfortunately, two of Herb Thrasher's speeches were planned for Friday. So the following is the only speech Herb Thrasher got to give at the Seattle Hemp Fest, but this is from main stage on Saturday about 12:45 p.m. as people are making their way into the park. We turn it over now to Herb Thrasher.
All right, our next speaker is from 420 Radio. His name is Herb Thrasher. Herb Thrasher, and he's going to speak some truth to you as well.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Yeah!
loving to wake you guys up this morning. Welcome to Hemp Fest. This is the Super Bowl of the cannabis community. This event right here is it. And you guys are here. Friday was a great day, wasn't it? That's right, dude. We got to turn it into a positive. I saw many people, and it was awesome. It was Seattle. We had a little bit of weather, and no one cared. Because we are freedom fighters, and we don't care. What we care about is what we smoke, and we care about our freedom at these rallies, and that's what we do. As I mentioned, my name is Herb Thrasher. I'm also Scott Gordon. And there's so much going on in the community. I just love being a part of this community. I'm from Oregon, and we just recently legalized in November, and it was freaking awesome. And part of it was because of you Washingtonians. We're teammates. You know, we watched you guys in 2012 legalize, and we choked. And then all of a sudden, we came back, watched you guys. Our legislators learned. We came and bought your weed. And all of a sudden, we came back. We didn't quit. And now we're legalized. The only problem I'm seeing right now is that we're proud of Measure 91 and you guys aren't proud of I-502. We need to turn that around. So hopefully you guys will come into Oregon, buy some of our weed, continue to buy Washingtonian weed, and keep educating your legislators. We had a great medical program through the years and we kept teaching these guys and they saw, they knew, they understood weed. They understood what it meant. So now we're in our next phase, which is equality. You know, we legalized, and now it's time to equalize. And part of that, you know, is getting a job without pissing. You guys like pissing in a cup just to get a job, just to get a paycheck, just to support your family, do whatever you want to do? You know, there's a lot of jobs out there doing that, even in Washington, Colorado, and Oregon, where we're freaking legalized. That's bullshit right there. Can't tolerate that. You know, speaking to any of you guys watch the presidential debate here recently, the Republican debate? You know, we got a bunch of legalized states and it wasn't even mentioned once, not one time. That's crap right there. There's gonna be a bunch of some states in 2016 voting for it. Wasn't mentioned once. You know, there was one cool thing, though. You know, Dr. Ben Carson, everyone's all fired up about him right now. He said one cool thing. He was talking at the end, and he was all, well, you know, when I'm in the operating room, you know, I'm operating on the person. You know, I'm not operating on their skin. Really doesn't mean anything. It doesn't tell who they are. And he's right about that, but you know what else doesn't tell? Their piss. When they piss in a cup, it doesn't tell who that person is. That's crazy. That just tells what he might have smoked 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, last night. Doesn't tell who he is. That's crap right there. Amen. So we need to change that. No urine tests, especially in legalized states. And the insurance companies are pushing that crap. If you own a business, please don't urine test anyone. Start changing that. Start talking to your buddies when you're at your business meetings. Find out who is and tell them to stop that crap. We want jobs too, we want to be equal. Speaking of jobs, I'd love, you know, one of my things too, I wear a lot of hats. I'm 420 Radio, I'm Portland Normal because activism is so important. You guys need to be involved in groups, keep activism going. But also I have a business, Herb Age Designs, right down here at 425. Please support the vendors. So many vendors, so many bands lost their slots on Friday. It's a lot of money, man. We need to support them. Support this event isn't free. Find the donation boxes. Make up for Friday and take care of us. Support. I'd love to see some creativity in this industry. I still see a lot of dabs and bongs, which is great. Dispensaries, which is great. But let's be creative, man. We can do all kinds of stuff. I have seen a lot of creative stuff, but let's keep being creative to keep growing this community. You guys can find me at Herb Thrasher on Twitter, 420radio.org, herbagedesigns.com. And as I said, keep supporting these bands. You know, one of the sponsors right here, Cavi Gold Records, has a great band today playing at 4 p.m. This whole area right here will be rocking today at 4, and that's Lotus Crush. That's just one of many bands that you guys can be supporting. That support this community. that support music, and we've been living, we've been smoking in our basements all these years listening to this music. So keep supporting these guys. Thank you so much to Vivian McPeak, all the Seattle Hemp Fest crew, Sharon Winston, who runs the vendors. We love you guys. Rachel, speakers.
I spent the last 2 years of high school in a daze.
All right, great words there from Herb Thrasher up on the main stage. We got more highlights from Seattle Hemp Fest coming up after the break. In our activist agenda, 84-year-old Ann Lee, Republican woman from Texas, Christian conservative, pro-life, and the head of Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. Plus, my speech from the C. Lee stage on the Texas roadside rape by cop.
The Russ Belville Show, providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Saturdays at noon Pacific for Medical Marijuana Radio, podcasting at medicalmarijuanaradio.com. Larry Love is reporting on the latest national news and studies concerning medical use of cannabis with interviews of experts and policy analysis. Check our online listings for Medical Marijuana Radio with Larry Love from medicalmarijuanaradio.com.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Back to Seattle Hemp Fest with Ann Lee from Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition, followed by my speech at the C. Lee stage on Saturday afternoon.
Someone who was against cannabis legalization for many years, but now has realized that it's a totally bad idea. And that, as a longtime Republican, as she has been, that it actually went against her Republican values. And so I give you now the founder of Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition and my mom, Ann Lee.
Well, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? How can you make, how can you make a difference? And if you do nothing, you will get not what you want. So my suggestion is, as a political activist, first of all, are all of you registered to vote? And if you are not registered to vote, for whatever reason, whether you haven't lived there long enough or whatever reason, make sure you find people who are registered to vote and be sure you influence them. Do all of you know who your state representative is? Who is your state senator? Who is your congressman? Who is your U.S. senator? And if you know who they are, do they know who you are? Do they know that they can count on you for support? If you find a political a state rep, a state senator who supports this issue, make sure that they know you, that they know you as their constituent, and that they know they can count on you for help. write a little check. I don't care how small it is. Write a check and give some money to a person who supports this issue. Do some phone banking for them. Do some block walking for them. Make a difference in their campaign. Make know that they can count on you, that you are a voting constituent of their district. Now we're talking about making a difference with bad law. I grew up with the bad law of the Jim Crow. Where I grew up, if you can believe this, whites and blacks could not go to school together. They could not even drink from the same water fountain. That was the law that was prevalent when I was growing up in Louisiana. I call that bad law. And we've had more and more bad law from the drug war. And the drug war has given us what is now called the new Jim Crow. There are too many people who have suffered from this bad law, and it is up to us to make a difference, to just get the law changed. It is changing some places, but we still have far to go. And if you're talking to conservatives like the people that I know, make sure they know that prohibition is not conservative value. Prohibition goes against everything that I, as a staunch conservative Republican, believe. I believe in smaller government. What does prohibition do there? It mushrooms the size of government. I believe in being fiscally responsible, and prohibition just spends money like I call a liberal Democrat does. And prohibition takes away individual responsibility. Why doesn't my son have the right to use the medicine that's best for him? He couldn't in Texas. That's why he left Texas and came to Oakland. So for those reasons, it is not conservative to support prohibition. That's how you can persuade the people that you know who are conservative. And we've had the bad law of this, of drug war, we need to change. It is simply not conservative, and is certainly not right. It is not right to put a person in prison for simple possession of marijuana. It is against everything that we as Americans believe. So I believe I've said all I know how to say on this. You all, we're here, we know why the law is bad. So what can you do to change the law? That's what I ask you to do, to make a difference. I don't care how big, how little it is, make a difference. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann Lee.
All right. Russ Bellville is coming up here. He's been helping us like he helps us for a number of years. Come on up here, Russ. He's going to get real good. Good afternoon, HempFest. My name is Radical Russ Bellville. I'm the host of the Russ Bellville Show on 420radio.org. And it's got to be damn close to 420 right here at Seattle HempFest. Are you excited for 420? It's a beautiful thing. We've got some measure of freedom here in Washington State. I'm from Portland, Oregon. We got some measure of freedom in Portland, Oregon. They got some measure of freedom in Colorado. A little bit in Alaska. But a little bit, and up. Do you want more freedom?
I love freedom!
I want more freedom too. And today I am wearing a shirt from my friends at DFW Normal, Dallas Fort Worth Normal. And I thought that I would wear this shirt throughout HempFest, wear shirts from places that don't have this measure of freedom. That for doing what we're doing right now, people are gonna go to jail. They're gonna lose their kids. They're gonna lose their job, their security clearance, have their assets seized. And so I picked this one because I travel all around the country doing speeches, doing these events and coverings for 420 Radio. And I get to meet a lot of people, and I met some wonderful people in Dallas, Texas. Barb Humphreys, a young woman who got breast cancer and is fighting for medical use of cannabis down there in Texas, a real tough place to fight. But I want to tell you the story of one particular woman that just happened this last month to give you some idea what we're still fighting for. Her name is Charnesia Corley. Charnesia Corley is a young African-American woman. She's driving around the outskirts of Houston, Texas, She gets pulled over by the cops for whatever reason. It doesn't matter. Pull over for a slight traffic stop. Pulls into a gas station parking lot. Cop comes up, does the regular cop thing. He goes, well, ma'am, I smell marijuana. Do you have any marijuana in the car? Says, no. Cop takes her out of the car, puts her in cuffs, puts her in the back of the cop car, and then goes to search her car, because he smells marijuana off the bloodhound here. So he searches through the car, ransacks through the car. He doesn't find any marijuana, but you know, Officer Bloodhound, he knows there's got to be some marijuana somewhere. So he goes back to try to issue a call, still handcuffed, hands behind her back, in the back of this squad car. Says, ma'am, he just stepped out of the squad car. Says, you are hiding marijuana on your person. We are going to conduct a thorough search. And I mean thorough. She said, you mean you're gonna be, you know, touching my body? And he said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, I'm not wearing any underwear. That's kind of a problem. They said, that isn't a problem. And they bent her over the cop car, reached around and unbuckled her pants and pulled them down around her knees so they could conduct a search. She decides, this feels a little too much like rape for my liking, and says no and starts to resist. So, they took Charnesia Coley, this woman in her 20s with her handcuffed behind her back, and took her to the ground and called in a third officer so one officer could hold her left ankle, the other one could hold her right ankle, and spread eagle her in a public parking lot on the dash cam camera and search her vagina for the marijuana they thought she must have had. Now, at the end of that search, they did find some marijuana. They didn't say where they found it. Maybe they found a crumb, maybe they found... They found 0.02 grams of marijuana. Charnesia Coley was held down, spread-eagled, pants down naked in a public parking lot under the light of day and the eyes of everyone in public to search for what turned out to be 0.02 grams of marijuana. Now, my first thought was, I looked up the laws of Texas. I thought, well, guys, how much do you think she was hiding in the first place? It takes a quarter pound to make a felony in Texas. Now, I don't think quarter pound is going there. So what that really works out to is they invasively strip searched a woman in a parking lot, crawled through vagina for what they must have believed is a misdemeanor. Of marijuana. Does that sound like freedom to you? Does that sound like America to you?
Yeah.
How about hell no?
Yeah, no.
Hell no.
Hell no.
How about hell no?
Hell no.
Hell no.
So that's why we're still fighting for women like Chinese and Poland, for the people in states like Texas and Arkansas, Tennessee, Virginia, Alabama, all these places where what we're doing right now gets them locked in jail, lose their kids, lose their job, possibly lose their life if they're black and have something in their hands the cop thinks is a gun. I'm Radical Russ Belville. I'm Radical Russ everywhere on all the social media, 420radio.org.
420radio.org. Thank you so much, Russ.
The Russ Belville Show, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak. It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for our live cannabis community chat with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. You can also call toll-free at 844-207-2346. That's 84-420-RADIO. And hi, Dr. Mitch, how you doing?
Having a great day.
I'm having a great day, too. Got back from the Seattle Hemp Fest. Got a little less sun than I usually get because it rained two of the 3 days. So I guess that's my harm reduction, is to hope that it rains. We've got some great questions here because we've been off for a couple of weeks and a lot of different studies have piled up for us to talk about. And we're also taking a look at the chat room in case anybody gets any questions in there. I thought maybe we'd start with the one that's kind of fun, and that's Shakespeare. Might have been a weed smoker. Tell folks about this one.
It's funny because the original finding came out over a year ago. They discovered some pipes in a place where he lived. And now they've actually gone ahead and taken a closer look at some of those residues, and there really are cannabinoids in there. And so it seems pretty obvious that Shakespeare at least owned a pipe that marijuana was smoked from. So when you think about medicinal uses back at the time, not a lot of folks were actually smoking. They were more tincture and just edibles more generally. So this is a bit of a novelty, and I got to hand it to the bard. He can string some words together in unusual ways, and they might have given him the schizotypy diagnosis and blamed it on marijuana back then.
No kidding. I mean, this is very confusing because Kevin Sabet always told me that pot smoking is a relatively new phenomenon, no cultural backing for it. But what, the bard, we're talking, what, 16th century?
Yeah, so, you know, he was baptized in 1564, apparently, and... you know, made it to the 1600s. But in fact, when you look at some of the stuff from Africa, too, they used to make a little bowl right in the ground and kind of drill a hole in the ground and smoke probably as early as the 1300s. So poor Kevin needs to take a closer look at those data.
And what else? Didn't they find some other things, some coca in some of the other pipes?
Yeah, and it's funny because the coca leaves seemed more popular, which I guess I shouldn't be so surprised, but the actual smoking of coca seems like a poor use of it. It's not really all that bioavailable once you light it on fire that way. It's not like crack where it's already been turned into a precipitate like that, so I can't imagine it was particularly efficient, and it probably would have been better for them to just put a little pinch between the cheek and gum.
Yeah, there you go. We had a question from our chat room. John Thomas wants to know if marijuana can help with Mexican dysentery. He's back from a trip, you see.
So what's funny is Shenang used to prescribe it back in 2800 BC, but I think it's more for just calming the ills and the horrible, you know, fatigue feeling, and you do a whole lot better with some of the standard caopectate type interventions.
There we go. All right. So let's get to this study. There's been a few of them that have come out, and this one is very interesting about teen marijuana use. All the time we've heard, what about the children? And the worst possible thing is adolescent boys smoking pot because they're vulnerable to schizophrenia, and they're going to lose cognition, and their IQ is going to go down, and they're going to get lung cancer, and they're going to get depressed and anxiety. And it's always about those adolescent chronic users. Tell us about this latest study on teen use and later health outcomes.
This is an intriguing crew at University of Pittsburgh now, and I actually had one of the same team on my podcast, if people want to check it out, at Cannabis Radio. But essentially what's happened is they've got a relatively large sample here, over 400 folks, and they've tracked them really closely on a whole lot of dependent measures that are the things that are sort of at the forefront of all the controversy, and found literally effects that are just absolutely negligible on all the psychotic symptoms, on cancer, on asthma, on respiratory problems. It just really wasn't there. And I mean, these weren't incredibly heavy users or anything like that, but it certainly suggests that we might do better to focus more on preventing alcohol problems in teens than the spending all this time vilifying cannabis.
But to be clear, it wasn't like heavy duty wake and bake everyday teenage smokers we're talking about.
Not at all. But in fact, those are incredibly rare. So even the chronic users, you know, it wasn't like they were smoking every day. And it's actually pretty hard to find those folks. And I think that says something about sort of the natural feel that you have when you're, you know, when you're a 14-year-old, you realize, wow, I can't quite pull this off getting high all day every day. And I think that we can trust teens to actually be relatively well-informed. And it's a very small subset of folks who actually run into troubles. We do, you know, have concerns about brain development. And, you know, normal's never going to say, oh, it's fine to smoke when you're a teen. But I think it's not the outrageous horror that we were once led to believe.
All right. Now, on the other side of the coin, we get a study that comes out suggesting that there's a link between the number of pot shops you have in your zip code and the number of marijuana-related hospitalizations you have in your zip code. I'll just let you tear this one down.
Well, I mean, what's funny is everybody who's listened to us for more than a week knows about random assignment. And the problem is, pot shops aren't randomly assigned to zip code areas, and they try to control for it. If you look at the original abstract, they said, well, when we took a zip code neighboring, you know, and tried to compare it to that. But that really means nothing. You can think about literally the classic 90210 in Los Angeles is right next to 90200. You know, it's just not the kind of thing where this is a reasonable control. So what they're really saying is, hey, guess what? In bad neighborhoods, there are more pot-related hospitalizations. Oh, and coincidentally, a lot of dispensaries end up in those. I think it says more about our unwillingness to let good medical marijuana dispensaries show up. I mean, I'd love to have one next door to me. And I think it would be a lot nicer for us to, you know, understand that this kind of business is a valid business and should be spread out so that people can have an easy time finding them, not suddenly vilifying them simply because they do end up often in bad neighborhoods.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit of NIMBYism when we end up legalizing. They always want to, you know, zone the pot shops way out into some industrial district, and you know, they're redlined into these few little very economically depressed areas, and you know, surprise, surprise, people probably go to the hospital for everything more in those areas.
I sure would have liked to have seen that control, and I'm lamenting this right now because, you know, New York's medical cannabis is basically going to be 20 shops for a state of 20 million people, and I just can't imagine they're going to end up put anywhere that's necessarily convenient for everybody, and certainly not in consideration of crime.
Yeah. All right. So more on the good news side of studies. Paolo Montano published this in the Normal blog about cannabis users being less likely to be obese and possessing lower diabetes risk. And, you know, I heard Keith Straub speaking this weekend at Seattle Hemp Fest, and he spoke about his use of cannabis and how in his 60s he ended up getting these seizures. And he asked Dr. Lester Grinspoon about it, and he said, Keith, you'd probably always had seizures except you've been high for 40 years. And I'm wondering with myself,
I would have had them probably had an onset a lot earlier in life under the circumstances. And you watch him respond to cannabis, and it's a lot like some of those things you've seen with folks with cerebral palsy, where, you know, you literally can see Keith take a hit and have the tremor decrease.
Yeah.
These data are really a replication of, you know, things we've seen at least in two other data sets, where the average BMI of the folks who are cannabis users is significantly smaller than for the non-user. And we're talking, you know, a couple of BMI points, which is, you know, a lot of pounds per meter of height, so to speak. And of course, then it also seems to translate to a lower prevalence of type 2 diabetes, and that's the one when you think of folks who've, you know, just been eating really inappropriately and in large amounts. And it so defies that munchy stereotype. I think, in fact, a lot of cannabis users happen to be appreciative of plants and mindful of their diets, and it all seems to pay off. But there's this tacit assumption that there's a certain amount of pleasure you need in your day, and folks who are willing to get it from one smokable plant may not be quick to run to try to get it just from food.
You know, I shuddered to think, you know, I just went to the doctor and I got a little diagnosis of being pre-diabetic. It runs in my family, type 2 on my mom and my dad's side. And I shudder to think if I hadn't been smoking pot all this time, where I might be at this point. But better, greener foods in my future and more time on the bike, that's for sure. Let's get this last one in. This is from multiple sclerosis patients. CBS MarketWatch talking about them finding relief in a marijuana chewing gum. Now, it seems to me that wouldn't be as effective as something inhaled, but what can you tell us about this?
What's intriguing is the idea is great because you could have a sort of therapeutic dose in your system all the time without having to smoke, but it's a kind of ridiculous extra step to make folks have to chew gum. And the gum that they're talking about is 5-milligram cannabidiol gum. We've seen some problems with some reports on some business sources of that, and, you know, I don't want to get sucked all into that. But the idea that CBD could help folks with MS is pretty well documented now. I would just as soon see folks getting a standardized dose through smoked cannabis just so they can keep a steady state without having to go through all this complicated formation of the gum. But they're suggesting that physicians really like this idea of, hey, we know it's 5 milligrams of THC. We know how much cannabidiol is in there. We can show them how to chew it. They don't have to worry about smoking. If that's what they want, more power to them. It just seems like an awful lot of extra work for something that we already have pretty easy access to.
All right, folks. Well, that's about the time we got for our questions. If you have one you want to get in by email, you can always send it to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. And as we go out in this last minute, Dr. Mitch, I just wanted to get your take on a non-marijuana related story. And that was the announcement by the Food and Drug Administration that OxyContin is now approved for ages 11 to 16.
I'm super apprehensive about it, but I can certainly understand situations where for short-term pain relief, that's okay. But the irony that they also can't have access to, say, high cannabidiol strains when they have seizures really breaks my heart.
Yeah, it seems pretty unnecessary, and a lot of people were talking about this at Seattle Hemp Fest this weekend, with the shock being, you know, that juxtaposition. It's like, wait a minute, you're going to approve Oxy for 11-year-olds, but this girl in New Jersey is fighting to use, she's highly epileptic, fighting to be able to use a non-psychoactive cannabidiol oil at school, and they wouldn't even let a parent or guardian take her off campus in the middle of the day to give her the cannabidiol oil. But by God, if she needed some Oxy, she'd be okay.
I mean, that is just completely hypocritical and ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. Hey, folks, make sure you check out Dr. Mitch's podcast on cannabisradio.com. Is it got a particular title, Dr. Mitch?
So that one's on my show, Burning Issues, and I believe it just mentions adolescence in the title. I can't remember it word for word.
Okay, check that out, cannabisradio.com, and we'll be talking with the folks at cannabisradio.com very soon. Might end up having this show joining you there, Dr. Mitch.
That'd be super.
That'd be awesome. I would love it. All right, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week, and have yourself a great day.
You too.
All right. When we come back, we got more highlights from the Seattle Hemp Fest, my speech from the main stage on how the no on I-502 people were wrong.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Despite strong public support for medical cannabis, decriminalization, and legalization in Georgia, the state spends $121 million every year to arrest, prosecute, and imprison Georgians for simple possession. Each year, the state of Georgia spends less on driver services, agriculture, and forestry combined. What else can $121 million a year do in Georgia? With that much money, the state could hire and keep 3,000 more teachers, improve roads and bridges, provide tax relief for small businesses, repair aging sewage systems, or lower taxes. But right now, that's millions of dollars of your tax money wasted on failed enforcement. Tell your representative you're tired of wasteful spending and ask them to end cannabis prohibition. Join the conversation at www.peachtreenormal.org. Peachtree Normal is a proud affiliate of Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
This is 420radio.org, your 24-hour cannabis community radio.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
All right, this is my speech at the main stage of Seattle Hemp Fest yesterday afternoon.
All right. Radical Russ Belville is a brilliant cannabis activist and radio personnel from 420 Radio, and he's here all the time speaking his truth about prohibition. So give him a warm Seattle welcome to Radical Russ Belville.
Thank you, thank you.
One more time for Vivian McPeak. Without him, there's no Seattle Hemp Fest. 24 years of celebrating freedom here right on the sound. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm celebrating my 10th year here speaking at Seattle Hemp Fest. So it's exciting, and I'm just honored and privileged to be able to speak here. And I remember, you know, that when we're fighting for freedom, we gotta remember it's not just the freedom for us here. This is a nationwide fight and a global fight that we're all involved in. And since in my 10 years of working in marijuana reform, I've had the privilege of being involved in a lot of campaigns. I got to be involved with the Prop 19 campaign in 2010. Richard Lee spoke here earlier. He put $1.5 million of his own money into trying to legalize in California, and while it didn't win, it made the national attention and started the national dialogue. But something really bugged me about that campaign, and that was people who were against legalizing marijuana. Not the cops, not the rehabs, not the prison industry, not the pharmaceutical industry, not the timber industry, but pot smokers. Our own people lined up with t-shirts and signs telling me that I should vote to remain a criminal. I was shocked. I thought, well, you know, it's California. California's got a lot of politics going on. Maybe it's just a one-off thing, but no. I came here 3 years ago in 2012, and Washington State had I-502 on the ballot, and I saw people in red t-shirts, red signs, no on 502, Russ, you should vote to remain a criminal. So I thought it'd be interesting to look back and see some of the things they said would happen, the no on I-502 people. If we were to legalize marijuana, what would happen if you passed I-502? Here's a few quotes. The courts will leave I-502 with 1 ounce decriminalized but nowhere legal to buy it. Distribution will be easily rendered invalid in federal court. This will result in no tax revenue being raised. I truly believe that when this law passes, a legal challenge by the feds will pretty much void all of it, leaving us nothing but a really bad DUI law. Well, guess what? There's currently 155 active marijuana retail licensees, 15 storefronts in Seattle alone, and raised $70 million in tax revenue. The people who told you to vote against legalization were wrong. They said it would lead to a mass increase in weed prices. If you're happy to pay $600 to $700 an ounce for legal state swag to help fund social services, like more law enforcement to enforce this new law, just come right out and admit it. The prices will jump 50, 75, or 150% according to the people who said no on I-502. Well, guess what? There was an initial price spike,
But I recently purchased an ounce of very high-quality marijuana in Vancouver, Washington for $225 with tax. We've got the lowest pot prices in the nation in the Pacific Northwest. We did not see any $600 ounces. The people who told you to vote against legalization were wrong. Here's Ron, a quote. I-502 will have absolutely no effect on criminal organizations in Mexico or anywhere else, end quote. I just read the Washington Post that Mexican cartel drug farmers are giving up cannabis planting because the price has dropped from 100 a kilo to 25 a kilo. They can't make a living growing it anymore because they can't compete with legal weed. The people who told you to vote against legalization were wrong. Here's a quote, if we passed I-502, according to the no on I-502 people, I-502 sets a horrible precedent. Its execrable DUI provisions and ban on home growing become law here. Future states will model their legalization on it. This initiative can set a negative precedent across the country. But what happened? Alaska, Oregon, and Washington, D.C. allow for home grow and have no per se DUID. Ohio and Nevada have legalization initiatives on their ballot that allow for home grow and have no per se DUID. And the initiatives proposed in California, Arizona, Michigan, Maine, Massachusetts all allow for home grow and have no per se DUID. So when the people who are against legalization told you and set a precedent, they were wrong. Here's one. If I-502 passes, complacency can dissuade voters and elected officials from supporting legal alterations or meaningful reform for years. What happened? On April 2nd, 2014, Governor Inslee signed a bill that legalized concentrates, an improvement that was not included in the original 502. So when they told you to vote against legalization, they were wrong. They said if hemp farmers' crop passes 0.3% THC, they'd face state-level prosecution. All the states that have hemp farming have 0.3% THC except for West Virginia, which allows 1%, and nobody has faced prosecution. They were wrong. Here's one. It's a trick. If you pass a joint to your friend, you're guilty of a controlled substance Class C felony. Unless you bought that ounce at a state-licensed store, you'd still get busted. Under I-502, possession north of 40 grams becomes a felony. Well, first of all, it already was a felony north of 40 grams. But the Drug Policy Alliance has found that misdemeanor marijuana arrests are down 98%. All marijuana court filings, all levels, no matter how much weed you had on you, no matter how many plants they caught you growing, all court filings down 63%. All marijuana court convictions down 81%, and nobody was ever busted for possession of a non-store ounce. When they told you to vote against legalization, they were wrong. How about the DUIs? Everybody talks about the DUIs. I had one person, a highly respected lawyer, tell me that 10,000 possession arrests per year can easily be converted into 10,000 or more DUI arrests. But actually, in the first year of 502, they dropped by about 300. In the second year, the positive THC test went up, but the results above 5 nanograms went down. Fewer people got busted for DUIs, and certainly nothing close to 10,000. Because of 502, 2 out of 3 people who would have been busted have not been busted. So Ohio, you got the chance to vote on 2015. Vote for legalization, because the people that tell you to vote against it are wrong. I'm Rap for Russ from 420 Radio. Thank you.
Nice job.
All right. Lots of opinions here at HempFest.
Yes, indeed. So there we go. The I-502 people, non I-502 people were wrong. And you may have heard in the background there one guy standing off the stage left saying, "What about medical?" Well, hey, buddy. I-502 didn't change a thing about medical. Remember all the medical people said, don't do anything about medical. Don't put anything in there about medical. Don't have legalization change medical, or for that matter, protect it in any way. So we did. We left medical alone. All the problems you're having with medical now owe to the legislature attacking medical. I-502 could have protected it for you. Could have been written in there. But you didn't want that, did you? That's all the time we got for hour one. Hour two is coming up next. More highlights from Seattle Hemp Fest, including Dr. Keith Saunders' opening day speech, kind of like mine, the Seattle Satanic Temple, and music from Washington State.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
For everyone here at Roller J Studios in Legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.